are part of a series that started back before Christmas, and then we took a break during Christmas time and kind of focused on that a little bit more. But these series of sermons are on the book of 1 John. And as books go, it's not a terribly long book, 5 chapters with the book of 1 John. But there are some themes that recur again and again and again. Light, love, and things like that. We see him use that, children, the idea he calls the believers children. And these themes recur again and again. And one of those themes is light. And so I entitled the series Light Over Darkness. And something he deals with a couple times in the epistle of 1 John, he deals with false teaching and those who would propagate doctrines that don't line up with what those who were authorized were teaching. False prophets, false teachers, if you will. And he refers to them as the spirit of Antichrist. And so one of the other messages in the series we looked at was the darkness of Antichrist. And so we're going to kind of revisit that thought about false teaching tonight, and I've entitled this evening's sermon, The Antichrist Detector. Now, I joked around with people this morning, and I said we would be giving out free Antichrist detectors to everybody who came, but then I was quick to remind them, we aren't giving out actual detectors. I'm just going to show you how you can detect false teaching and how you can detect the spirit of Antichrist. But as I was researching this topic, I found this statistic, which just really kind of boggled my mind. And of course, a lot of the statistics we come across are American-based, but I have a suspicion that it's not much different down here, because I found in Trinidad, y'all have everything we have and maybe a little bit more of some of this stuff. But statistics say that America has more than 350 sects and cults. And most of these 350 cults claim that their doctrines are based on the Word of God. Now that's interesting, isn't it? 350 different religions or cults, if you will, in America at least, that say that they base their teaching and their purpose in life and their practice, the way they live, on the Word of God. And I would submit to you this evening that all those 350 are not the correct doctrine. All right? Those 350, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with some of those cults and offshoots that we're talking about, they don't teach what the Bible teaches. And yet, they advertise and they espouse that they adhere to the Word of God. And so it's important tonight that we be able to recognize and be able to turn away from false doctrine. And so tonight as we study 1 John chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. I believe the idea is this. You must be able to detect and reject the teachings of Antichrist. Now understand tonight, it's either or, right? It either is of God or it is Antichrist. There is no middle ground. The teaching is either correct or it's incorrect, right? And so anything that does not adhere to Scripture is another gospel, even like Paul discussed in Galatians. And if somebody teaches that other gospel, he declares in the book of Galatians that they are to be accursed, right? So anything other than what is correct is the spirit of Antichrist. So it's of utmost importance tonight that you be able to determine what is the correct teaching and what is incorrect teaching. It's important that you be able to detect and reject the teachings of Antichrist. Else you might end up like this poor fellow. In Brisbane, Australia, a 30-year-old man by the name of Douglas Birch dabbled in the cult of the yoga until it cost him both his feet. Believing he had heard the voice of the yogi commanding him to do so, Birch stood barefooted in a bed of hot coals until his feet were cooked to the bone. Then he crawled quite a distance to a main road where someone saw him and summoned an ambulance. After his feet were amputated, Birch told a friend, This is good. I am through with that stuff. I can see now how silly it was. It's a shame poor old Douglas Birch didn't figure that out before he burnt his feet off, right? It is important, all right, that you understand what is the correct teaching and what is the incorrect teaching. Now, maybe it won't be that you lose your feet. Maybe something much more serious than that. And that is people who don't understand the truth about who Jesus is, why He came, and how we can get the gift of salvation that He offers freely. Those who get that wrong spend eternity in the fires of hell. So it's important tonight that you understand the correct doctrine and be able to recognize what is wrong. Now I want you to understand tonight, once you're saved, and we teach this firmly at this church, once you have come to Christ and accepted His gift of salvation, that gift is yours forever. God is no Indian giver who gives you the gift and then snatches it back. He knows everything, all right? So whatever you do next week after you get saved doesn't shock Him or surprise Him. He saves us in spite of what we're going to do. So there's no way you can lose your salvation. I want to make that clear tonight. I'm not talking about that you could follow some false teaching and somehow lose your salvation. The Bible teaches that if you have truly accepted God's gift of salvation, that God will keep you to the end, that you will endure to the end. But it's important tonight because even believers can get sidetracked on some of these things and end up being ineffective for the cause of Christ. So it's important on all counts that we be able to detect and reject the teachings of Antichrist. And so we're going to look at six verses tonight in 1 John chapter 4. And so let's look at these verses and read through them tonight. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, I don't want to see anybody down at the bar later tonight trying the spirits, all right? That's not the kind of spirits that are being spoken of here. We're talking about the spirit of the right teaching, God's teaching, the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of Antichrist. But he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So I want to look at these verses tonight, and I want to see how we can detect and how we can reject the teachings of Antichrist. And I think the first thing that we need to realize this evening is found right there in verse 1. And that is, you need discernment when it comes to the things of the Bible and the things of Scripture. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I want you to understand tonight that not everybody who claims to be a spokesperson of God or claims to be from Jesus Christ is really from the Lord. Maybe your parents told you when you were young, don't believe everything you see, right? Don't believe everything you see on TV. Don't believe everything you hear, right? Don't just believe things just because somebody said it's true. And John is encouraging us in the same way. He says, not everybody who gets up and takes even passages of Scripture and claims that they are speaking upon authority, not everyone who does that is indeed speaking the truth. And he explains that there are many that have gone out into the world, false prophets that have gone out into the world. Now, it's important tonight to understand from what angle John was speaking when he spoke to the church. You need to understand that the New Testament at this time was not yet complete. What had been written at that point was not widely known. The church at this point in history had to largely rely on apostles and other teachers who would come into the church and they would speak and tell the things of God. Back then they had sign gifts and different things that would authorize and show that they were indeed from God. And they had other ways of recognizing the authority of these men. But John warns them, just because somebody comes in and says that they have apostolic authority, don't believe them. Don't believe everything you hear. Now, as you develop discernment tonight, I have an illustration that I want to show you. I'm going to ask Sister Maria to come and help me. How many of you like to drink Coca-Cola? All right. How many of you like Pepsi-Cola? All right. All right. So let's see if we can get how many in the audience tonight prefer Pepsi over Coke? Raise your hand. You like Pepsi better than Coke? Oh, Coke is king here. All right. By the way, I'm with you. All right. How many of you like Coke more than Pepsi? All right. And that's a pretty big statement because I'm from North Carolina. I was born and bred where Pepsi comes from. But so don't tell my parents, all right? All right, so. All right, but who thinks that their taste is so honed? You know Coke so well, you could spot a fake. You could tell me what was Coke and what was Pepsi in a blind taste test. Larry, have you been able to drink enough Coke and Pepsi? You think you can tell the difference? All right, Larry, come on up. And I'm going to have somebody else. Let's see. I need one other volunteer that can. Angel, I think Angel competing against Larry, I think that is golden for tonight. All right, so you can have your seat right here. All right, so drink number one. All right. I don't even know the results. Sister Marie knows. All right. You swish it around. Yeah, don't help. This is a high stakes competition. All right, number two. Okay, which one is Coke? Number one or number two? The first, they both of you agree that the first one was Coke. All right, Sister Maria, are they right? They are right. How about that? That's amazing. So, obviously, Angel and Larry have been able to drink enough Coca-Cola in their life that they're able to tell the difference between Pepsi and Coke. And I want you to understand tonight, the same way that you're going to be able to spot a fake when it comes to the things of Scripture is you have to get into the Word of God. You've got to study God's Word and know what correct doctrine is. You can't just be a casual, look at my Bible sometimes when I'm at church on Sunday, and be able to tell the difference between the right teaching and the spirit of Antichrist. There are so many people who come into the doors of Bible preaching, correct doctrine churches. And because they only get a surface knowledge and they don't really know what the Scripture is all about, pretty soon somebody comes knocking on their door, and I know the devil sends them, knocking on their door, and those people will say a lot of things that sound kind of like the things they heard at that church that taught the truth. And pretty soon those people are just pulled right away into false doctrine and false teaching because they did not know the truth. I'm telling you tonight, do not believe everything you hear. You know, you have to test even the things that I tell you. If I tell you something from this pulpit that does not line up with the Word of God, you don't have to follow that, right? If I tell you something that doesn't line up with Scripture, then that's just Pastor Jimmy's opinion. It may be good advice, it may not be good advice, but it's not binding like Scripture. But let me tell you, if I tell you something from the Word of God and I show you in Scripture where God has said it, you better put that into action in your life because that is the truth. You need to have discernment. You need to know what is right and what is wrong. And I've used this illustration before, but I think it really gets the point across. You've heard me talk about Benjamin Franklin before. He loved to argue with people. And so he would get in these arguments with people, and finally they'd get him backed into a corner where he couldn't really, you know, prove them wrong. And so he'd say, well, you give me a little while to think about it, and I'll come back. He would go to his house where he had a printing press, and he would print up a book that would look something like the Bible, but he would change it. He'd do it in Bible terminology, but he'd change it so that it proved whatever he was trying to argue. And then he would bring that to the people he was arguing with and say, well, look, here it is right here in the Bible. And they'd say, well, you're right, Ben Franklin. Right, there it is in black and white. Now, I wonder tonight, how many of you would be fooled by Benjamin Franklin's Bible? Or would you know enough of the Word of God that you say, wait a second, Ben, that is not in the Word of God? You see, that's the only way that we're going to be able to detect truth from error. You got to know what the real thing is. You know, they tell me that when they train tellers at a bank, they don't give them counterfeit bills to handle and show them, hey, this is what a counterfeit bill looks like. You know what they do? They allow them to count and handle the real thing nonstop. And since they handle the real thing nonstop, when a counterfeit bill comes through, it's very easy to detect what is not correct, what doesn't belong. And it's the same thing with our knowledge of Scripture. If you will immerse yourself in the Word of God, when that false teaching comes along, like a detector that goes off, you'll realize something's not right with what's being said. You need to develop within your life that discernment, that ability to discern truth from error. But then John goes on to give us some more information regarding this. You need discernment, but then you also need to understand what is important. You need to have discernment, but also realize the importance of this one very essential thing. Verse 2 says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. My friend, it all comes down to Jesus Christ. And you can mark it down. Every cult that does not adhere to Scripture in some way or some fashion attempts to distort the character of Jesus Christ. They will say that He was just a good man, or they will say that He was an angel. Anything besides saying what He really was, and that is God come in the flesh to die for the sins of mankind. My friend, it all comes down to the person of Jesus Christ. John says that is of utmost importance. I want you to hear what Wearsby said about this passage. He says, how could a believer know when a preacher was from God and that his message could be trusted? After all, Satan is an imitator. Not too long ago in our Transform series, you remember we looked at that passage in Corinthians that talks about Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So it's no shock that his apostles also be transformed and look like true, authentic apostles. He says, John states that the false spirits will not confess that Jesus is the Christ. The false cults today deny the deity of Christ and make Him a mere man or an inspired teacher. But the Christian has the Spirit within, the new nature, and this gives overcoming power. My friend, it all comes down to Jesus Christ. It is of utmost importance what you believe about Jesus Christ. A few months back, and I wish now that I had saved the email. I didn't keep it at the time because when I read it, it just made me furious when I looked at it, and I didn't want to struggle with anger in my life, so I deleted it. But somebody had sent me an email, and I think somehow they must have been connected with my church back home somehow, or through the Bible college somehow, got my name somehow from the internet, and sent me this email based on 1 John 4:2, and the person wanted me to respond back to his email and say verbatim exactly what it does in 1 John 4:2. He wanted me to confess, right, that Jesus is come in the flesh, is of God. He wanted me to, He wanted me to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is of God. He wanted me to say it the exact same way. In fact, the actual wording isn't even there in the passage. But he had it exactly worded out, and he wanted me to say that back to him so that he could validate that I was, you know, teaching the right thing and that I was the right kind of missionary, you know? And Miss Paula, what's funny is he had written in there, He said, you know, I've heard about your ministry, and I have a lot of friends, and I want to be able to tell them if you're a good guy or not. Well, I could have helped him out with that. I can tell you right away, Jimmy's not a good guy. There's none righteous, no, not one. Amen. If there's anything good in me, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. But anyhow, I want you to understand this passage is not some password for finding out if somebody is of Antichrist or not. In fact, I bet there's a lot of cults that we could get to polyparrot that verse and read right back to us and say, yeah, I believe Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Don't believe He's God. That's what they would say. So I want you to understand what John is saying here is it's not some crazy password that we need to be going around and asking everybody, hey, repeat this after me, repeat this after me. Listen, don't be so naive as to think that that is simply all it takes to discern whether someone is really speaking the truth or not. What it takes is like we talked about on the previous point. You've got to get into the Word of God and know what the Bible says so that when the counterfeit comes along, an alert goes off, a detector goes off, and you say, hey, something is not right. John wanted us to understand that this issue, this area, the person of Jesus Christ, is where Antichrist is going to wage his war. And if you look at our world today, you'll realize that all of those cults, all of those that don't teach the correct things regarding Jesus Christ, it comes back to this. They will not teach the right thing about who Jesus Christ is, that He came in the flesh, was very God in the flesh, going to the cross to die for the sin of mankind. Let me see if I can explain it to you this way. Now, how many of you, you saw my flashlight earlier. How many of you say, Pastor Jimmy, I'm pretty good with a flashlight. I think that I could demonstrate how to use this for everybody tonight. I think my flashlight skills are pretty proficient. Anyone? Come on. Somebody going to help me out with this? Chloe is always there. She will come on up, Chloe. I'll let you. Too late, Larry. You were scared. You were scared, right? All right. So, demonstrate how we use that.
Press the button.
What?
You took the batteries out.
Well, look. Y'all saw it working beforehand, right? They're in, right?
They're dead.
You think they're dead?
Yeah.
Now let me tell you why this flashlight is not working. Now you saw it working beforehand, right? You may not see it working afterwards, if I can get the sprigging. The reason why the flashlight isn't working, y'all can give Chloe a hand. You can go sit down. The reason why that flashlight isn't working is because I've got the bulb right here. Now, how many of you would agree that the bulb is a pretty key component in the flashlight? It is, isn't it? Otherwise, the flashlight does not give light. And you know, this is what false religions are like. They look very flashlighty, if I can say it that way. They look very religious. And if you read their stuff, it sounds religious and it sounds very churchy, and it may even be written in King James English, you know? But the problem is they have missed one of the vital components. And John says that vital component is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ and His deity. If you leave that out, then it doesn't work. You know? It's just like a flashlight that cannot give light. Their things may be very churchy, may look religious, but without the right belief regarding who Jesus Christ is, then they cannot give any light. And so it's of utmost importance tonight that you understand who Jesus is and that you make sure you get it right when it comes to Him. Because John says this is where the very war will be waged when it comes to the spirit of Antichrist. So tonight, develop discernment in your life. Understand what's real, what's truth, and what's error. Be able to spot a counterfeit. And you'll be able to do that by getting into the Word of God. And then make sure that you believe the right thing regarding the person of Jesus Christ. You know, that is of utmost importance. If you don't get that right, then your life is just like a flashlight without a bulb. There is no light within. And then lastly, John gives us one last area in which we can test the teachings that we hear. And that is acceptance by other believers. Look at verse Let's start in verse 4 and we'll work down through 6. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, in other words, the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist, those that propagate that. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God, here's the key, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Wearsby, talking about this, says there are two spirits in the world today. God's spirit of truth, who speaks through the inspired word, and Satan's spirit of error that teaches lies. And get this. Teachers sent by God will speak from God, and God's children will recognize them. I want you to understand tonight that if you're having a difficult time understanding what's real and what's not, what's correct teaching and what's false teaching, a good thing to do is to find you some godly role models. People who you know, that you've seen as much as you can know, that as you look at their life, you say, you know what? That person loves God. And I believe that person has a real relationship with God. And then, when you have one of these teachings come across and you're not sure, oh, should I believe that or not? Then you take it and you discuss it with that godly role model and see if that person who you believe to be following God believes the same thing as that teaching that you've heard. Now, I want to warn you, you know, there have been people, and I've witnessed this in the time that I've spent in church, some people, that this is the only thing they use. They latch on to some person, right? And they try to believe everything that that person believes, and they're not really grounded in Scripture, and they just follow what maybe this preacher says, or maybe this author, or whatever it is. And inevitably, what happens is that person falls or does something that just, you know, embarrasses the cause of Christ. And that person is just left out in the cold, and it's a horrible impact on them. It will destroy someone like that. And so I want you to understand tonight, you know, don't put your eyes on man. But understand too, John says that those that are of God will hear the truth, that there will be a kindred acceptance, if you will, between what the teacher is saying and that person who has the Holy Spirit within them agreeing with it. And so it is one way that we can use. And like I say, make sure you find someone who you respect and you believe is really seeking to follow God. Not that they're perfect, not that they are that they have no flaws, but that they're trying to seek after God. Get several people like that. And then you'll be able to tell what is truth and what is error, even from what they're able to tell you regarding their experience in the Christian life. John says, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. Test and see what those godly role models hear, what they believe regarding these different teachings. So tonight, it's so important that you be able to detect and reject the teachings of Antichrist. You need to develop discernment. Just as our taste testers tonight, they could tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi because, well, who knows how many Cokes Larry has drank in his life, right? He knew the difference because he knew the real thing. I think that's one of Coke's slogans, isn't it? But he was able to discern truth from error. And in the same way, just like we would drink a whole bunch of Coca-Cola, we need to drink the living water. Amen? We need to get into this Word, so that when something comes across that doesn't taste right, we say, no, that's false teaching, that's false doctrine. And then understand the importance of the person of Jesus Christ. Now, there's some things that we, you know, aren't dogmatic about, you know. There's some things that I believe, and I believe the Bible says it that way, but I'm not going to go fight somebody over it, you know. Music, what kind of music we have. Or, you know, things like that. Some of those things are fringe issues that, you know, I've met people that they don't think you should have food at church. They believe it's sinful to have any kind of eating at church. We are not doing that here at this church. Amen, Pastor Eric? But, you know, people have different ideas and we can disagree on that thing. But listen, there's one thing I cannot disagree with someone on, and that is who Jesus Christ is. That is a non-negotiable in my life. I'm not going to accept anything less that He was very God come in the flesh, going to die on the cross for my sin. That I will not give one inch on that, because it is that important. And so understand the importance of that doctrine. It is so crucial that you know what you believe about Jesus Christ. And then lastly, acceptance. Those things that are taught, have they been accepted by other godly believers that you've watched their life? How do they feel about some of those teachings? When you hear something that you're not sure about, take it to some of those godly role models and ask them if they can show you from God's Word whether that teaching is wrong or is right. Well, I just wanted to conclude tonight with some information, because a lot of these cults are out here, and I came across some of these quotes and different things, and I just thought you should understand some of this, because some of these cults that we're familiar with around here, they say some pretty crazy things, all right? Joseph Smith, who started the Mormon religion. Now, if you were to talk to a Mormon today, they probably wouldn't say a whole lot about Joseph Smith, and that's for good reason. Joseph Smith was a pretty crazy man. Listen to what he said about the inhabitants of the moon. This was new for me, Pastor Eric. The inhabitants of the moon, he says, are more of a uniform size than the inhabitants of the earth, being about 6 feet in height. They dress very much like the Quaker style and live to be very old, coming generally near 1,000 years. Now, for those of you who don't know, there's no people living on the moon, right? Joseph Smith said that. That was the founder of the Mormon religion. Are you going to believe what he says and take his new revelation, or believe what Jesus said about himself, right? Here's another incident from the annals of Mormon history. Years ago, a wealthy lady from the East made many trips to Salt Lake City to be baptized for the dead. They believe that you can be baptized and somehow take those people who have already died into heaven. Not true. Over the years, she was baptized 30,000 times. She did it for relatives, friends, former people like Alexander the Great, Nebuchadnezzar, Julius Caesar, Napoleon, and Cleopatra. A Mormon elder commented, "I believe that this lady," and get this, remember it all comes down to Jesus, "I believe that this lady in the Day of Judgment, through being baptized for the dead, has saved more souls than Jesus." That's what he said. The Jehovah's Witness, some of you may be acquainted. And once again, when I say this, I know if you have a friend or someone like that that's Jehovah's Witness, you know I love the Jehovah's Witness. I want every one of them to realize their error, and I want them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I understand that if they do not understand the right thing about Jesus, that they will not be able to spend eternity with Him in heaven. So my heart goes out to them. And when I see them on the street corner, handing out those watchtowers, I mean, there's part of me that I hate that false information is going to be given to people who have a surface knowledge of Scripture and be led astray by it. But on the other hand, I see those people and I see how sincere they are, and they're trying their best, I believe, to serve God in the way that they have been taught. My heart goes out for them. I want them to know the truth. But I want you to understand, as sincere as they may be, they are sincerely wrong regarding Scripture and who Jesus is. They have several times predicted the end of the world, and it has not happened. September 1975 was the date that they set for the world's end for a while. However, they went back and corrected it, saying it was a miscalculation. The 81-year-old theologian F.W. France, he said that the September date was not correct, and this is why. He said he had to go in and calculate the number of days it took Adam to name the animals and God to create Eve. In case you don't know, the Bible says nothing about how long that took or any of the details regarding that. By the witness's chronology, Adam was created in 4026 B.C., making the autumn of 1975 the 6,000th anniversary of creation. And this was the reason that the speculation that this time of year could be the Armageddon date. They've had several other ones. 1914, 1915, 1925, 1975. All of those were dates which they set that the end of the world was going to take place. Many of people who were following them sold everything they had because they believed what the Jehovah's Witness taught. And yet those dates came and they went. This was interesting to me. You may wonder, who owns the largest printing press in the world? New York Times or maybe some other paper like that. Actually, it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. They have one press that puts out 500 pieces of propaganda every second. 500 pieces every second. And from that one press alone comes 84 million books and pamphlets. Now, I don't know about you, but being a believer who knows the truth and realizing that the literature that comes off that press is going to deceive millions of people and send millions of people to hell. When I read that, my heart just sank. And sometimes it feels like you're fighting an unwinnable battle. It just seems like Satan and the spirit of Antichrist just has already gotten us beaten. You know, how are we going to be able to give the truth out in a world that is just filled with so much falsehood and so many lies and so much error? And then God directed my attention up to verse 4. Ye are of God little children and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, it may seem like we face insurmountable odds in trying to give the truth to a lost and dying world. But I want you to know tonight, believer, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And all that's necessary for us to do is know the Word of God so well that we're not carried astray by false doctrine, and to go out and give the life-saving message of the gospel to a lost and dying world. I hope tonight that you'll make up your mind that you're going to get into the Word of God and be able to detect and reject the teachings of Antichrist.